Before its first destruction in the 6th century BC, the prophets denounced Jerusalem as a bloody city, and a generation before its second destruction in the 1st century AD, Jesus said the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, would come upon Jerusalem. So despite its promising name of City of Shalom, Jerusalem was just another city of Cain, built on the shed blood of slain brothers. What was needed was a new Jerusalem, a real city of peace. That Jesus is the founder of the new city of God, the new Jerusalem, the true city of peace, is one of the great overarching themes of Scripture. But unlike Cain and Romulus, Jesus founds his city not by killing, but by dying. Instead of mounting an army to overthrow his enemies in bloody war after the manner of all great civilizations, Jesus instead mounts the cross, forgives his enemies, and simply dies. Jesus refuses to found his city in the manner of Cain and Romulus. Jesus instead founds his city in the manner of Abel and Remus. Jesus does not shed the blood of others to found his city. He shed his own blood. This is so counterintuitive. This is unheard of. This is absurd. This is scandalous. And this is the gospel. But still, the incongruence is jarring. How can Abel and Remus found a city? They were the brothers who were slain. Precisely. This is the mystery and offense of the gospel. It challenges our most basic assumptions of how the world is run and how civilization is structured. Since the death and resurrection of Christ, Cain and Romulus can no longer be lionized as heroes who rise to greatness by virtue of their superior strength. Instead, they are shamed by the triumphant Christ, who, instead of slaughtering his rivals, becomes the slaughtered lamb. It's a parody that makes a mockery of all our most cherished myths and legends. And if we find this gospel disturbing, then perhaps we are on our way to rediscovering a gospel that is once again newsworthy. The writer of Hebrews reminds us how Jesus endured the cross and disregarded the inherent shame of crucifixion. Jesus was able to disregard the shame of crucifixion because, as we saw in the previous chapter, it was not Jesus who was shamed as he was stripped naked and nailed to the tree. Instead, it was the principalities and powers who were stripped naked and shamed. The cross strips the principalities and powers of their pretense and exposes the shame of their naked ruthlessness. We now know that the cross displays the glory and beauty of Christ, while at the same time it exposes the shame and nakedness of the principalities and powers. We know all of this by virtue of Christ's resurrection as God's vindication of His Son. Furthermore, Christ is not only risen, He has also ascended to the right hand of God and now rules the nations as the world's true Caesar. The seminal Christian confession of Jesus is Lord carries with it the implicit claim that Caesar is not. The new empire of the Lord Jesus Christ was the gospel the Apostle Paul was so intent on proclaiming in the imperial capital of Rome and before Caesar himself. No wonder they cut off his head. What are we to make of all this? Can it be true? Has Jesus really founded the city Abraham was looking for so long ago? Is Jesus really the anti-Cain who founds his city in the manner of Abel? How real is this city? Is it a city we can actually live in here and now? The writer of Hebrews.